Epilogue. Cassian lay beneath a pall of shadows. There was no sound, no sensation, no pain. His sense of self drifted, and for a time he felt nothing but a strange kind of peace. Something moved. A figure, tall and powerful. Cassian saw for a moment the grotesque mass of the Death Guard Lord, and he felt a shudder of panic grip him. Yet the hand that drew back his shroud was gentle, and the face that looked down upon him was regal and beatific. A halo of light shimmered around it, and in his mind Cassian heard the distant voices of angelic choirs swell.
"Lieutenant Cassian," said the figure,
and his voice was as firm and reassuring as bedrock.
"Emperor?"
asked Cassian, his voice little more than a croak. The figure smiled.
"Once, almost, for my sins. Lieutenant, is your duty done?"
Part of Cassian wanted to nod, to say yes, that he had given everything. His men, his comrades, his life. Instead, he shook his head in a single, jerky motion.
"Only in death does duty end."
The figure's smile vanished, replaced by something sterner, tinged with sorrow and pride. Cassian hoped never to forget the power of that gaze.
"Very well, Lieutenant," said the figure.
Slowly, he replaced the shroud over Cassian's face, and as he did so, darkness closed in once more. Cassian woke, and for a moment believed that he was truly dead. He hung in darkness and could feel nothing at all. Then he heard a voice, filtering to him as though through a vox. "Vitals online. Synaptic choristry aligning. Bio-auguries look good. All runes in the green. Full sensorium coming online now." Cassian tried to blink as light flooded his vision, yet even his eyelids seemed numbed. The pain swiftly subsided as he adjusted to the sudden restoration of his sight, and he realized that he was in a shipboard apothecarian. Three apothecaries, whom he didn't recognize, crowded around him. To his surprise, there was a tech marine with them. Suddenly, data feeds began scrolling down his peripheral vision. He could see power levels, reactor stability readings, vox and Auspex data. Realization began to dawn as he tried to look down at himself, only to feel a jarring sense of dislocation.
"I cannot feel my body," he said, and his voice was now a vox-generated rumble.
"It is all right, brother," said one of the apothecaries. "Your body was ravaged beyond our abilities to restore. We saved only those parts you would need."
"I would need."
Cassian knew what they were saying, but even as the conditioned part of his psyche processed the revelation, another part of his mind was screaming in panic and trying desperately to move limbs that weren't there, flex muscles that didn't exist, and feel skin that he no longer possessed.
"You made a great sacrifice, brother," said a familiar voice, and the others parted to reveal 4th Company Captain Adrastian, clad in his shipboard robes and smiling a tight smile. "You gave up your body of flesh in the name of victory. These fine brothers have given you another, that you might continue to fight."
"I am a dreadnought,"
said Cassian, feeling a chill as the realization sank in. He was organs now, biological component parts, a brain, hearts, lungs, veins, arteries, and vulnerable innards bound within an amniotic weave and entombed within the armored sarcophagus of a redemptor. Part of him felt pride and a thankfulness that he was not dead. The other part tried to vocalize its claustrophobic horror, but with an effort he strangled that voice into silence. Some warriors went mad upon internment within a dreadnought body. He would not shame himself by joining their number.
"You are a dreadnought," said Adrastian.
"How? My men, we were victorious.
Thanks in no small part to the heroic sacrifices made by yourself and Brother Librarian Keratreus, you were, replied Adrastian. As I understand it, when you slew the enemy leader, it caused no small degree of havoc amongst the Death Guard. Many of their high-ranking lieutenants must already have been dead. Their command structure was in tatters. In the confusion, Chaplain Demetris was able not only to pull the strike force back within the safety of the walls, but to lead a swift offensive that drove the foe from your vicinity and allowed for recovery of both your and Keratreus's bodies.
Cassian took a moment to process this, feeling his senses gradually synchronizing with those of his unfamiliar metal body.
He realized that he could look through multiple optic actuators at once. As he did so, he noticed that his new body was, for the moment, limbless and suspended in an intricate web of wires and armatures.
How did we get here?
He asked.
Where is here? Did we make it back to the Indomitus Crusade fleet?
In fact, said Adrastian, the Crusade fleet made it to you. We received your astropathic message and sent a substantial force to effect your safe extraction.
There was a plague within the walls. Everyone was dead.
Not the astropathic choir. When the Death Guard first attacked, the choirmaster withdrew them within a psi-baffled refuge chamber. They, and a few senior members of the fortress's personnel, quarantined themselves inside. Demetris found them, exhausted and close to starvation, within the fortress's inner sanctum. He had them send a message, and keep sending it until half their number had died from warp trauma or physical exhaustion. But against the odds, they broke through the storms and made contact. Our ships arrived above Calides 5 days later.
5 days? Asked Cassian. The strike force held out that long?
They did, said Adrastian proudly. With Demetris's leadership and the fortress walls to shield them, they dug in and resisted the Death Guard's every effort to break through. Without their leader to drive them onwards, and with whatever ritual they intended in tatters, the enemy seemed to lose heart. Of course, the Primarch's sword punished them with heavy bombardments whenever its Auspex were able to divine their locations, and once we had multiple ships in orbit and fresh waves of Space Marines deploying to the surface...
The Death Guard were defeated,
finished Cassian with relish. They were annihilated.
What of Calides Prime?
Declared Purgatus Extremis. There was little enough to save. We bombed the astropathic fortress into rubble, destroyed any remaining viable military assets, and laced the lower atmosphere with enough servitor mines to ensure that, should the Death Guard return for their warriors, they will receive a deeply unpleasant welcome. Cassian was quiet for a moment, feeling the tick and whir of systems within his strange new body.
Captain, he said eventually, I wish to serve penance.
Penance? Asked Adrastian.
I lost over half of the warriors under my charge. I let Keratreus die and was very nearly slain myself. I cost the lives of every Cadian on Calides and barely succeeded in extracting any of my strike force at all. I failed in my duty and deserve penance.
Before Adrastian could reply, the doors to the Apothecarian whispered open, and a towering figure ducked through. Cassian's heart thumped faster as he recognized the magnificent figure of the Primarch, Rabute Gilliman, here, in person. Around Cassian, the other Ultramarines dropped to one knee. He felt his shame and frustration grow as he instinctively tried and failed to do the same.
Brother Cassian, said Gilliman,
fixing him with an unreadable expression.
My lord, said Cassian, I am not worthy to be in your presence. You are not just worthy, my son. You are a hero
I will hear no more talk of failure.
Aye.
Cassian was lost for words.
You were thrown wildly off course by catastrophic warp storms, continued Gilliman. Having already completed the mission that I sent you to accomplish, you not only held your force together through that dire experience, but you then successfully identified a means by which you could get word to us of your plight. You engaged a force of heretic Astartes several times the size of your own, whose plan would, I suspect, have caused devastation and misery across multiple systems. I am reliably informed that you showed nothing short of an absolute dedication to the completion of your mission, shrugged off a crushing defeat and alien interference, and even gave your own life to ensure the downfall of the foe. To me, Brother Cassian, those are the actions not of a failure, but of a hero.
Cassian's mind reeled, and fierce pride burned within him as he felt the sincerity of his Primarch's words.
Thank you, my lord,
he managed, as around him the other Ultramarines officers stood and offered him a warrior's salute.
You will be properly honored for your valor, said Gilliman. The commensurate accolades will be graven upon your sarcophagus by the artificers before we next go into battle.
Cassian tried to nod, and realized he couldn't.
Thank you, my lord.
Thank me by learning to wield that mighty new body of yours in battle, Cassian, said the Primarch with a smile. We are only 3 days out from the Tarkoria front. Do you think you will be battle-ready in that time?
Give me my limbs, my weapons, said Cassian fiercely, and I will train every moment until we make planetfall, my lord.
Good, said Gilliman, smile broadening. Are you ready to keep fighting, Dreadnought brother Cassian?
I am, my lord, said Cassian,
feeling a surge of purpose like a flame within him.
The crusade must continue.
And so it shall, until the last heretic lies dead, and my father's realm is restored at last to glory. For Ultramar! Cried the Space Marines, and Cassian shouted with them. For humanity, said Gilliman, before it is too late.
That was Crusade by Andy Clark, read by John Banks.